Well, good evening, everyone. Hello, got a hello. I like that. Being a little different, that's great. You know, there are more people here than normal. Is there something special going on tonight? I don't know. If you're new here or new to church, just want to kind of give you a couple ground rules. Number one, if I ever ask a question, normally the answer is going to be
Jesus.
Yeah. But on Easter, it's definitely going to be Jesus, okay? So if I ask any question tonight, the answer is always going to be Jesus. Even if it's not, that's a better answer than what the correct answer was tonight, just to make you feel comfortable. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to be here with each and every one of you. We're here to celebrate Jesus. You know, he came a couple thousand years ago, And he hung out with a number of different people. He interacted with all kinds of people from all different walks of life. He interacted with a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a guy who was trying to find his significance, trying to find his purpose, trying to find his fulfillment in wealth. He was a tax collector, and he wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. So he was the guy that got taxes, percent from the other tax collectors underneath him who was getting percent off other people. So the tax collectors were wealthy. The chief tax collectors were really wealthy. He was trying to find his significance, his value, and his purpose in money. And when he came to Jesus, obviously something was wrong. Obviously he had gathered that this pursuit of his wasn't getting him what he wanted. You know, Jesus interacted with a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was, you know, supposedly one of the guys that everyone looked to that said, hey, if anyone knows what he's doing, it's him. He's got it down. He knows all the right answers. He knows what to do to be a perfect child of God. And Nicodemus, he was a little bit ashamed that he was coming to Jesus because his friends weren't, you know, big fans of Jesus. So he came to Jesus at night, and he's asking Jesus questions. Because even Nicodemus, who should have had it all together, who should have known all the right answers, was still lacking something. There was still something he hadn't figured out, something he couldn't latch onto, something he couldn't grasp. He still had a need for significance, for value, for purpose. Jesus interacted with a woman at the well. She was a Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans were people that the Jewish people didn't like. There was a lot of animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. And Jesus, because he was so countercultural, went right into Samaria. And he starts talking to this woman. And this woman, her entire life, had tried to find her value, her significance, her purpose, and her fulfillment in guys. She had gone from one guy to the next, trying to fill her. She knew there was an emptiness. She knew there was something inside her. She had need. And so she came to Jesus realizing that all of that stuff didn't do it. It didn't fill her. She needed something else. He interacted with all kinds of people, people that were sick, people that were dying, people that were demon-possessed. He did all kinds of things and interacted with all kinds of people. But for some reason, and it's probably my problem, you may not be able to relate, but when I read the Bible, so often it's hard for it to feel real. I think any story that I read, it's hard to really get in there and really feel what the people are feeling, to understand what the people are feeling, knowing what they're going through. It's hard to put myself in their shoes unless it's like a really great writer. Some really gifted writers are able to kind of put you in the story, and you feel what they feel. You think what they think. You can relate. You understand. You know. You're like, that's me. I'm totally Harry Potter because I have fought Voldemort. He who shall not be named. Sorry. You know, I mean, like you can put yourself in their shoes because you waved a wand before. You've played Quidditch. You know exactly what they're talking about. But here's the thing with the Bible is although the Bible is a great story, it's got thousands and thousands of years of human history in comparatively a short book. And so you get kind of the main details, you get the important details, but a lot of stuff is left out. And so it's hard to really get into the characters, at least for me. It's hard for me to put myself in their shoes, to think what they're thinking, feel what they're feeling. And so what I love to do with Scripture is I love to try and just sit there for a second and think about the person. Think about Zacchaeus. What was his motivation? Some of you are actors and actresses. You kind of do this. What is this person's motivation? You know, what are they longing for? What are they hoping for? What are they running from? You know, what is their surroundings like? What kind of chacos did they wear back then? You know, I mean, you try and get into the character. And so tonight we're going to do something really unique, something a little bit different. And we took one of the characters from Scripture, a woman that had an interaction with Jesus. And we kind of made it a little bit more nowadays. And we took, let's say, 6 months to a year of her life and put it into a video blog or a video journal or a vlog or whatever people call those things. And so we've got 6 entries from this woman. If she was living today, if she interacted with Jesus today, this might be what it was like. So do me a favor, watch this video and try your best to get into the story, to feel what she's feeling, to think what she's thinking, to live in that situation, and hopefully the scriptures are going to begin to come alive a little bit better for you. Will you go ahead and show that for us?
Hey there, everyone. I'm nervous. I mean, I'm Sarah. Sorry, I'm a little awkward. It's my first time doing this. I don't really know why I thought it was a good idea to display my whole life in front of the whole world, but here we go. It's not like I'm starved for attention. I've gotten a lot of attention, just not really the attention I want. I thought it was what I wanted, but after experiencing it, well, you know. I'm sure you guys have all heard, it's not like there's not 1,000 different rumors spreading around about me. Probably, actually, a lot of you started them. But it's fine. Whatever. I don't care. They're not true, you know. Well, not all of them. Some of them are pretty close to the truth, actually. I'm basically a prostitute. There, I said it. You're all thinking it anyway, or worse. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to be a piece of meat that nasty men devour and discard once they've had their fill. It's never like that. Truthfully, I don't know how it got to this point. One day I was young, innocent, foolish, and poor. 5 years later, I can't even look at myself in the mirror. Now, I've been beaten. I've been raped. I've been forced into doing the most humiliating and degrading things you couldn't even imagine. I can't even remember what love feels like. I can't even remember what it feels like to be human.
Hey, me again. So I've been thinking about making some changes in my life recently. And I'm not proud of what I do, you know. There's not a lot of options for someone like me. At least not anymore. I'm just sick and tired of feeling the way that I do. So numb and disconnected and jaded. I'm sick and tired of the way people look at me. The way they treat me, the way they ignore me. You know, when I walk by, everyone just looks the other way and doesn't even acknowledge my presence. I'm not even there. I don't want to live like this anymore. I can't change. There's no way out. I feel so trapped. Yeah? Coming! Hey! Whoever is watching, probably just my mom. I've been waiting all day to share this. You're never gonna guess what happened! You will never guess who I talked to today. It was amazing. I'd heard so much about him, but none of it did him justice. I had heard that he comes to these type of parties sometimes, but it sounded more like a rumor. Religious guys like him do not hang around with people like us. You know, some of the most hateful and hurtful words I've ever heard in my life have been flung at me by religious teachers. Then again, I don't think I'd consider him religious. He was so authentic and down to earth. You're never going to believe me, but it was Jesus. And get this, he actually had a conversation with me. I can't remember the last time I had a conversation with a man that didn't end up with centering on sex and us and price. And at first I was a little uncomfortable. He kept looking at my eyes. His gaze was fixed on my face. But it was like he was peering into my soul. Most guys, by the way, can't even look me in the eye. Also, he wasn't constantly looking over his shoulder, worried about who would see him. But he didn't seem ashamed at all to be talking with someone like me. I didn't really know what to do or say. So awkward. But the words he spoke were so gracious and full of love. It's the first time I've ever felt that from a guy. He offered me hope, a life filled with significance and purpose. The way he talked, it actually seemed like it was possible. He made me believe that I could change, and at the same time, he made me feel like his love for me didn't hinge on that. And I can't describe it. There's no way I could put it into words. I don't even know where to begin today. Probably doesn't matter. I'm sure no one's out there anyway. I've never felt so many powerfully contrasting emotions. Remember how I said I was going to change? Well, I did. I tried. It was going so well at first, but then all the voices in my head became so loud and negative, and there's this guy. He was so nice, and he told me I was so beautiful. I didn't know he was married. Maybe I knew. Okay, I knew, but I kept telling myself that it was okay because he didn't love her. I just pretended that she was mean or something. I kept telling myself that she couldn't be that great if he was so interested in me. So one thing led to another, and before I knew it, we were back at his place. Then out of nowhere, his wife walked in and things got out of control. God, everything happened so fast. A bunch of men came in, and before I knew it, I was being dragged out of the house. They carried me into the town square and threw me to the ground. I was so terrified. I knew all too well what was going to happen next. A woman of my reputation caught in the act of adultery. There wasn't any hope. I begged and pleaded, but they wouldn't listen to my cries. They didn't hear my apologies. My eyes were swollen and bloodshot from the tears, but they wouldn't take notice of my remorse. They asked someone about the law condemning me to death. I assumed it was someone of religious or political authority. But when I looked up, I saw Jesus kneeling down. I immediately looked away. I was so ashamed. He had been so kind to me, and I promised I would change. What would he think now? There was nothing I could say. I wish they had just gone ahead and stoned me to death rather than bring me before him. I mean, I was going to be put to death anyway, but Jesus didn't have to know. This was way worse. At least that's what I thought at first. See, the men asked Jesus about stoning me to death, but Jesus turned it around and said something about their sin. I was so confused as they began to drop the rocks one by one. I felt each one hit the ground behind me. What was going on? Why were they leaving? I committed adultery. I had broken up a family. I deserved to die. And Jesus reached down his hand to me and told me he didn't condemn me. How could he say that? I knew those hypocritical men had no right, but Jesus was so pure. He had all the right in the world. He had the only right to condemn me. Wasn't it right? Wasn't it just of him to condemn me? I can't even describe the feeling. I can't put it into words. So this is what forgiveness is like. So this is what real love is like. Jesus accepted me exactly where I was. Lost, broken, sinful, empty. He didn't love some future, better version of me. He loved me right then and there, at my worst. Yet at the same time, he loved me so much that he wouldn't let me stay there. His love wouldn't allow me to stay lost in slavery to men and their approval of me. He picked me up and invited me into a life of true joy and contentment. He pointed me to deep, lasting fulfillment. As I remember his kind, beautiful face, I know I can never go back to the life I knew before. It wasn't really real life anyway. I now have something to live for. I now have someone to live for.
So you probably already heard. Jesus is dead. They killed him. They tortured him. So brutal, so awful. Couldn't bear to watch. You know, I don't understand. Apparently he wasn't who he said he was. I guess he wasn't all he appeared to be. So where does that leave me? I guess all this hope I had, all this renewed life, was just an illusion. My imagination, just something that I wanted so desperately to believe. What do I do now? Where do I go? I don't want to go back to sleeping with guys for money, but there doesn't seem to be too many other options. Girls gotta eat. You know, Jesus dead and his philosophies along with him, no guy will ever take me in. He's wasting my time hoping for the impossible. At some point, you just gotta stop believing in fairy tales, I guess. The love and life that Jesus talked about seem too good to be true anyway.
You're not going to believe it. I don't know if I really believe it. I mean, I saw him with my own eyes, but I don't know, it's too much. It's too weird. It's gotta be too good to be true. Jesus rose from the dead. He did. He really did. He said he would, but who could have really believed it? I mean, it's not like normal. God, my head is spinning. My heart is jumping out of my chest. This is the most surreal experience of my life. Duh. Obviously. Whoa! No, he really is the Son of God. He's God. He's God. Jesus is the God of the universe. It all makes sense now. Everything he did, everything he said, the way he made me feel when I looked into his eyes. This means it's all true. This means I don't have to go back. This means I could never go back. How could you go back to your old, meaningless, empty, broken existence after this? You can't. I'm not a great theologian. I've never been very religious. I can only speak from what I saw and what I experienced. Jesus changed something within me. He gave me hope. He gave me value and significance. He said, I am no longer an outcast. He said that God has accepted me into his family. He said that his death on the cross made me righteous. Me righteous? What? God, my past is so awful. My sins are so numerous. And yet somehow, because of Jesus, because he died in my place, God looks at me and sees someone who is righteous. He sees someone who is valuable and worthy of love. And he told me to tell him with you that you're invited too. He loves you right now, exactly as you are. He loves you so much that he'll walk with you into the abundant, free life that he lived and died for you to have. Because he died and because he rose again, we all now have hope.
It kind of makes it come alive just a little bit. There's so many parts of that I can relate to, that speak deeply to me. I can look back throughout my entire life, and I can see time and time again me trying to find my significance, trying to find fulfillment in something. I tried to find it in sports, but... And then I tried to find it in girls, but I tried to find it in becoming a famous musician, but once again, I'm a pastor, so that obviously didn't work out either. Even when I achieved some measure of success, it was almost worse than not having it. My brother has told me time and again that the worst thing in the world is not getting what you want. The worst thing in the world is actually getting what you want and realizing that it doesn't do anything for you. Because at that point, you realize that you've strived your entire life for something and it's empty and it's meaningless. So what else is there? How many different football players, after they win the Super Bowl, go into this crazy post-Super Bowl depression? I mean, it's because they've gone to the height of their career. There's nothing else they can do, nothing else they can achieve. Actors, after they've won the Academy Award, you know, in whatever profession it is, once you get to the top, once you get to the height, and there's nowhere else to go, it's really awful because there's nowhere else to go. And you're still there. I forgot what philosopher it was. That said, wherever I go, there I am. You know, you cannot escape from yourself. And if the problem's within you, then what do you do? So many different people came to Jesus out of frustration, out of emptiness, out of despair. So many people came to Jesus not really knowing exactly why they were coming to Jesus. And each time Jesus said this, "You've tried it your way, and it obviously hasn't gone so well. Stop. Let go. Quit running the rat race. Quit trying to find your significance and value in other people. Quit trying to find your purpose in your job. Quit trying to find it in people's applause and in their opinions of you, the way that they look at you, the way that they talk about you. Stop. It's so exhausting. It will never give you what you want, and you'll just wind up exhausted and in despair, empty, lonely. Someday, one day, that will happen. And I can give 100 examples of people who have achieved all that they wanted to achieve, and then they found themselves in despair. And Jesus said, stop. Just let go. Try my way. You see, I created you. And I created you intentionally with an infinite void in you so that you could not be able to be filled by anything less than an all-loving, all-powerful, all-good, infinite God. I rigged it on purpose because I didn't want you to be satisfied with anything less than the best, and then anything less than real love, genuine love, self-sacrificial, epic love. And that's what we tried to portray there, was the idea that we have this void, we have this emptiness, and we cannot fill it with anything but Jesus. And the beautiful thing is that once we begin to pursue after Jesus, everything else begins to have actual meaning. Your life can actually have purpose. There's a reason why when we fall in love with Jesus, when we seek after Jesus, when we become disciples of Jesus, that we don't just get zapped into heaven. Because we have purpose here on this earth, that we can now do our job in such a way that we get fulfillment, God gets glory, and people hear about the love of Jesus. Because of the way that we do our job uniquely and differently with purpose, we can live our lives with gratitude. We can go through tragedy with such great poise. And not that we're not frustrated, not that we're never sad, not that we're never angry, but that we realize there's more there. There's more to it. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know why you came tonight. I'm sure there are 150 different reasons why people came tonight. I'm sure you've tried to find your value, your significance, and purpose in something unique, something different. I'm sure you've tried to find it in a number of different things. And I don't know where you are. If you feel like, man, I got it all together, I've got it all figured out, or you feel like, I have no idea what I'm doing, I want you to know that you were created intentionally with an infinite void inside you so that it would drive you to not be satisfied with anything but God. The reason that we celebrate Easter is because the God of the universe, out of his great love for us, came to earth and saved us. Because we can't do it on our own. We can't save ourselves. We can't be righteous enough. We can't be holy enough. We can't earn enough money. We can't have enough fame. We can't have enough power. We can't have enough success. We can't do it. And God said, I love you so much that I will do it for you. I will make a way. And Jesus came to this earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And then he died upon a cross. And he took all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of it upon himself. Everything we've ever done that was awful, every person we've ever hurt, every thought we've ever thought that was just hurtful, he took it all upon himself, everything past, present, and future. He took it upon himself, and then he paid the penalty. And then on Sunday, he rose from the dead. On Sunday, he rose from the dead. This is what sets Jesus apart from every other religious teacher ever, is Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus is alive. Our God is alive. He's living. And in Jesus, it's not like he's a God that's far off, that doesn't know, that can't understand. Jesus came down and was human and experienced everything we experienced. He went through the stuff that we went through. He went through the heartache. He went through the heartbreak. He went through the peer pressure. He went through it all. He was hungry. He was tired. He was thirsty. He got lonely. He got sad. Everything. There were times in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, there's something that you will that I don't want to do because it's going to be really awful. And yet, he was perfect and said, not my will, but thy will be done. Because when he lived his life out that way, we got the benefit, the opportunity to be invited into the family of God. None of us here are fatherless. None of us here are familyless. We all have the opportunity to be a part of a family, an eternal family. A family that is not perfect, a family that is broken, a family that fails, a family that will hurt you for sure. I mean, if I am any representation of the family that God has, I'm so sorry. But it's a bunch of broken people in here. I'm sure you can look around and you can say, I've been hurt by that person. That person talked behind my back. That person, what are they wearing? Man, I just talked behind their back. Dang it. You know, I mean, that's what it is. We're a bunch of broken people. But because God is awesome, because of God's great love for us, he invites us into this family. He says, I accept you exactly where you are, exactly the way that you are. You don't have to change to come in these doors. You don't have to be different to come in these doors. You don't have to act differently to come into these doors. Jesus doesn't love a future better version of you. He loves you exactly the way you are right now. It says in Scripture that while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, while we were rebelling against God, that Jesus died for us. He accepts you exactly where you are, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter how awful that you think it is, no matter how many people that you have hurt deeply. But he loves you so much that he won't allow you to stay enslaved to those sins, enslaved to greed, enslaved to popularity, enslaved to power, enslaved to fame, enslaved to whatever it is. He says, I came, lived, and died so that you could have an abundant, free life, an epic life characterized by love that you can't even imagine. I want you all to experience it fully. And that's what we want to be. We want to represent Jesus. So we want to be a place, I like to call it a sanctuary of transformation, a place where anyone and everyone is welcome exactly as they are. No need to clean up. No need to change from your nasty work clothes. You can look like a pirate. You can look like a, you know, whatever else people look like at your jobs. You don't have to change. But we're going to love you so much that we're going to walk alongside you into freedom. Easter is amazing because we get to celebrate that there is, in fact, life. Not just life eternally, although there is. Because of what Jesus did, we can have an eternal life, which is awesome. But there's also life here now on this earth. There is purpose. You have value. You have significance because the God of the universe, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God created you in his image, wants to adopt you as his child and make you a fellow heir with Jesus. You see what Jesus earned? With his life, with his death and his resurrection, all that Jesus earned with that, we get to be fellow heirs with him if we just say yes to Jesus. That is mind-blowing to me. Because I stand up here not as someone who's great. I mean, for real. The people that I have hurt in my life, the hearts that I've broken... Heartbreaker, yep. Sorry, I just can't stop thinking about that. No, I mean, seriously, like, I've done some awful stuff, and the thoughts that have gone through my head, I mean, if you knew, you would not be here. You'd be out the doors. We're not perfect. We're not earning anything. Jesus loved us in spite of that. And he says, hey, let's walk into freedom together. This is why we celebrate Easter, because our God is alive, and now there is hope. Hope for life here, hope for life eternal. And we get to walk into it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you so deeply. We need you so desperately. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, that we'd be moldable right now, that we'd be shapeable right now. Lord, I pray that you'd quiet our minds, you'd still our hearts from all the things that are going on outside, all the worries, all the fears, all the concerns, all of our pursuits. God, help us to let go of all these things. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to you, that we would let go and we would rest in you. Lord, thank you so very much for coming to this earth. You as God coming to this earth and being human and experiencing all these things that you didn't have to experience. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loves us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you. Thank you that Jesus died an awful, painful, torturous, extended death so that we might be free from the weight of sin. And thank you even more that he raised from the dead, that Jesus is alive, that he's no longer in the grave, and now we have hope. Hope for life here, hope for life eternal. Lord, I pray that whatever's holding us back tonight, that you would help us to let go and embrace you, that we would realize that we have the opportunity to be in relationship with the God of the universe. Help us to realize that we're loved, that we're accepted, that we are valued by the God of the universe. We need you, God. We cannot do it on our own. Help us. And it is in your Son's amazing, beautiful, powerful name, his precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.